Oh, if I had wings like a dove, wouldn't you want to leave this place? I'd like to leave this place too. And just thinking about how much I desire a better country, how much I desire a better land, that we would just fly away and be at rest. I want to have a prayer before we begin, and I just ask that you would pray with me, and you'd pray for God's anointing as we open His Word together, and that He would speak to your hearts and mine. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are a loving, kind, and gracious God, and we know how much you love us, for you laid down your life for us on Calvary. I pray that Christ will be uplifted, and I pray that we will have a clear understanding of where we are standing, to see if we are ready to dwell with thee. It is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I think about the days we're living in. A lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about, first of all, who Jesus is. And I really like the clear definitions of what the Scripture tells us. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Let's take a look to see truly who Jesus is. So you can turn with me in the Bible in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And I like this description of Christ because it lets us know that there is someone who cares for you and me. And in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, and the Bible says, "And they shall call his name Jesus," or Emmanuel, right? Right? Let's take a look at this. Matthew 1, 21 and 22, right? It says, "And she," talking about Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So, to have a correct understanding of who Jesus is, we need to know who we are. That we are finite, we are flesh and blood, but there is a God who is divine, who is creator of all, and his name is Jesus, and he has promised to save us from our sins, because we know that Romans 6:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I need to know who Jesus is, and that is very important. Let's take a look at another scripture in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this was a prophecy concerning the birth of Christ. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And the Bible says here, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice this. When the government is upon his shoulders, when Jesus has the government upon his shoulders, all these things are happening. He's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and he takes the title, the Prince of Peace. And there's no one else that can take that title. You realize this? And if you see here, in verse 7 it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Jesus' government will never end. It will never cease because his government is for out eternity. And how do we know this? Let's turn to the Bible because we want to know what the Bible has to say about Jesus being from the beginning. Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. And we'll take a look at verse 14. So he's always ever been. It says, in the beginning. When was that? Before creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Notice this. Word and God have a close relationship. And the Word was God. You know, there's power in God's Word that can transform our lives so that we have an understanding of who Christ really is. And if we have a right conception of who Christ is, then we will know for a surety what our eternal life is based upon. But let's look at this. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14 says something very interesting here, so we know who the Word is. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning, there was God. And in the beginning, let me tell you, God loved you and me from the beginning. And He not only did He love you and me from the beginning, but He uniquely, divinely instilled for you to be alive at the end. And do you realize that we are at the end? And that God, in the beginning, He knew from eternity past, He knew eternity forward. And you know what? Right there in the middle at Calvary, He paid a price for you and for me that we might be a partaker of eternal life. Turn with me to John 17 and verse 3, because eternal life is based upon knowledge of knowing who truly God is. And I like this description here. The Bible says, it says, and this is life eternal. So the consistency of eternal life is based upon this. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So knowing Jesus is basing your eternal life if you have a knowledge, not just a knowledge intellectually. Let me clarify this. A mere theoretical knowledge, an intellectual knowledge, will do us of no saving value. We need an experiential knowledge, a knowledge of experience of walking and talking and abiding and confiding in the Maker and the Creator of all there is, and that's Jesus Christ. We need that experience. Intellectually, yes, but not more so. We need it experientially. We need an experience to be able to go to eternal life. You know, I really like this text, this next text in John 14:6, and it lets us know something. John, if you would turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus saith unto him, he was talking to Thomas at this time. You know, he told him what's going to be in heavenly places. He says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? You know? Anybody ever give you directions to a place, you know, and they say, well, I don't know how to get there. And they say, well, you know, it's just down past Opeekow. He said, well, I don't know where Opeekow is at. And you'll see some coconut trees, and you'll see a few avocado trees, and a couple noni trees, and you hang a left at the papaya tree. You ever get directions like that? I'm so happy God has given us specific directions on which way to go. Aren't you? Aren't you happy that you have a creator that loves you, that lets you know which way you want to go? And let me tell you, there's only two ways. There's only two ways. You're either going to go the way of Jesus and walk in the safe and the narrow path, or you're going to go the broad road of destruction, the way of the world. So you got two choice. You got a choice you're going to make. Whether you're going to go Christ's way of life eternal, partaking of that fruit, having that completeness, especially the self-denial part we learned about this morning in Sabbath school, and going in that way, or we can go in the way of self-righteousness, self-justification, I can do it. But God has said, I am the way. And you know, if He has made the way, don't you think He wants to lead us in that way? And He's not going to leave us alone. He doesn't leave us alone. You know, I want to know who His brethren are, don't you? Don't you want to know who Christ's true brethren are? Turn with me to Luke 8:21. Let's find out who the brethren are. Because if God has a group of people and they're going to be led in the way, I want to know which way they're going to go, but yet I want to know who His true brethren are. And let's take a look at this. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Romans. Okay, amen. Bear with me. Man, I say turn there and I can't quote it to you. Matthew. Okay. Luke is right before John. Luke 8:21. If you have your Bibles, you can say amen. This is a powerful text here. Luke chapter 8 and verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these. Notice this. He says, Christ is saying, my mother and my brethren are these. They hear the word of God and they do it. Wow. You mean they're not just intellectual knowledge people. They're people that are, they hear God's word, they study it, they read it, and they apply it to their lives. And they have, in turn, they are working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, is what the Bible says to do, right? So they don't just have this high maka knowledge, that they have a clear mind to do. They read God's word and says, oh Lord, that speaks to me. That tells me of who I truly am. Help me by thy strength and grace to walk in this narrow road. Right? Many people have a lot of delusions and are deceived about truly who Christ is. That's the number one deception, I think. And not only about who He is, but how He's coming. And people are confused. A lot of people believe that they're called preterists, that they believe that the prophecies in the scriptures were already all fulfilled prior, that they're already all complete and done away with. And that group of people says, yes, those things were done away with. There's no need in studying prophecy anymore because it's done away with, And there's no need to work out your own salvation. Jesus did it all on Calvary. All you have to do is profess Jesus and you'll be all right. But these preterist people have a misunderstanding of how Christ is to come again. And they distort the scriptures. And then there's a group of people that say, well, you know, all the prophecies in the Bible, they're for futuristic time. Those things haven't happened. They're all somewhere out there in the future. And those people aren't clear in what they are saying. It's good to take an approach on study how Christ will come again and what we should look for. And so that's why, you know, I really like the chapter in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. We can turn there if you would, please. And we will examine some of the descriptions on Christ, how he said that he would come again. This is very exciting. I really enjoy this chapter. And we can begin with chapter 1. And it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. You know, at this time, the temple was such a magnificent structure. It was made with white marble, you know, and it was made with these huge blocks that I don't even think maybe a D9 could move these blocks. They were cut out, these big, huge, glorious, and the way the sun would shine up and it would reflect on that temple, it would almost be like a snow-capped mountain picture. So you can picture this in your mind, that this temple, in the disciples' minds, was very, very glorious. And his disciples came to him, showed him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the disciples in their minds are thinking, wow, this glorious, huge temple, which all the world looks to, and comes to, surely this must be the end of time that Christ is talking about when this temple is being destroyed. And he says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So the disciples wanted to know a couple of things here. He said, they wanted to, it breaks it up here. Isn't that interesting? He says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So there's two questions here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many people are deceived nowadays. And you notice this. Five times in this chapter alone, Christ says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Five times. He says, take no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many people are professing the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's people who actually even professing that they are the literal Christ. And they have many people following them. There's people who profess to even be like a sinful Messiah. Can you imagine the blasphemy of that? Many people are deceiving many, especially in these days we're living in, thinking that, well, Christ has already come. And, or, Christ is, he's not coming till restoration of Jerusalem. Many people are looking to a lot of things. It says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Yet the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. So, we're told that the last days, there's going to be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Has anybody recently felt an earthquake? No one here. You know, I live down Kalapanaside, and every once in a while, it seems like the ground shakes a little bit. I mean, I'll be sleeping alone. It's usually weird because I hear them, and it's like sometimes it's my head, if it's on like the pillow, you hear a sound kind of like a freight train or a locomotive. And one morning, I was studying in my truck because I used to be off-grid, and all I had was 12-volt system, and so I'd have my light on in the truck. And I'm studying my Bible early in the morning, around 5 o'clock, and the whole truck felt like somebody jumped on the back end of the bumper. And when you're studying and it's dark outside, I'm like, who is it? You know, I got out of my truck, I'm like, who is it? I'm looking around, there's nobody. And it was an earthquake that shook. And it shook my whole truck. And recently, I'm sure you're all familiar of the quakes that have been happening in diverse places. Now, let me ask you a question. Are the earthquakes that we're feeling nowadays and hearing about nowadays and seeing the results of nowadays, are they very, very far apart? You know, are they, you know, like 1 year and maybe 5 years later? Or how are they happening? Very, very what? Rapid and what? Close together. You know, I'm going to talk about women here, but I'm not a woman, so you have to bear with me. But there comes a time when a woman is about to give birth, okay? And you can know, the women know more than the men. You know, the men really don't know. But the women know more when that baby is going to come forth, right? And it's a wonderful thing. But when a woman is ready to give birth, there is certain movements the body makes, and there's these birth pains and these different contractions that happen, and they become more and more close together. You following what I'm saying? So as this woman is ready to give birth, the contractions, they become closer and closer together. And likewise, as you see this earth, it's just getting closer and closer and closer together, that these rapid catastrophes are happening. And earthquakes. Devastations. It says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Wow, that's strong language Christ is speaking here. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and here's that word again, deceive many. You know, I think that as we focus on people are going to be deceived, one of the ways people might be deceived is the manner of Christ appearing. I don't know if you've ever had one of those days where you've studied your Bible intently and you wake up and you look out there and you look out in like a pristine morning nature view, Maybe you're out camping or you're out on the ocean. You look out on the ocean and you watch the sun just rise up, glorious, just flickers of gold and green and blue and teal and golden and then fully bright on sun. And you have those mornings and you say, and you're saying to yourself in your heart, could Jesus come today? I don't know. I've had those thoughts. You know, sometimes you think, man, Lord, could you return today? You know, expecting that, you know, you see that picture and you're out there in nature. You say, God, could you just come back today? Maybe Jesus is going to come today. But, you know, so it's good to have a clear understanding of how he told us that he would come again. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. And they received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as they went up, behold, the Bible says, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye see him go into heaven. So, here we've got God's word, and we're told here that visibly, Christ is going to return. Visibly, he's going to come how? In the clouds, right? Isn't that what the Bible just said? Visibly, he went up from them. He left and he went in the clouds. So visibly, he's going to come in the clouds again. And it says, so notice this. Now, a lot of people believe that he's going to come just secretly. Maybe he'd just come over to the island of Molokai for a little bit and hang out there. And maybe, you know, that's not the way Christ is going to come. You won't need to read it on your email. You know what I'm saying? You won't need to see it on all your local news channels. You know, you won't. When he comes, it's very visible. You are going to see. You know, creation, creator. What a glorious picture in your mind. You will get to see Jesus come with those clouds of angels coming down. And you know, there's only going to be two camps of people. One camp's going to be crying for what? Rocks to fall on them. And the other camp is going to be calling, hey, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. You know what? That group is a group I want to be a part of. How about you? I want to be a part when the sky breaks forth like a scroll and the sound of the trumpet blows long and loud. So loud, I believe that trumpet's going to blow that people are going to tremble. That we can say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. You know, so it's going to be very visible. It's also, it's not going to be a secret. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 52. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. I'm going to read verse 51 too. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen to that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Can you say hallelujah for that? And it says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So God is going to, his coming is not only visibly, but it's very audible. It says the trumpet's going to sound, that people are going to be changed, and that is wonderful to know, because a lot of people have a misunderstanding that it's going to be secretive, or that there's going to be a prior coming to his second coming, that he's going to have a kingdom already set up on earth, and it'll be just a kingdom of, let's say, about 144,000 people. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we need to understand that when he comes again, he's coming visibly, audibly, not just secretively. And it's very important to know this, that God appeared to his followers of old. It's Genesis 1:27 says he appeared unto Abraham. And in Matthew 17, also on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elias or Elijah was there. So he appeared unto them. Also in Mark 16:9, it says he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And he appeared unto the other disciples in Mark 16, verse 14. And in 1 Peter 5, 4, he appeared. He shall appear, it says. And in 1 John 2, 28, he appeared. Let's turn over to 1 John 3, 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. First John 3, and it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's very importance to focus on God wants to appear to us. You know how God appears to us and shows us himself is through the Word of God. You know, we have a clear picture. You want the clearest picture of Jesus? It's through the Bible. And it's very important to note that. So a lot of people, they have an understanding that he's going to come secretively, he's going to come prior, and he's just going to take this group of people for 7 years, and then he's going to come back, and if you didn't make it in the first 7 years, you can make it when he comes again a third time. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Let's also look at, I want to see on 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, and verses 16, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, as we realize, God's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel. He's going to be a visible appearing, but many people are going to be deceived visibly because they won't have the audibly. And there's one other portion of Scripture I want to bring to your attention. It's Revelation 1:7. Revelation 1:7, and I know a lot of good Seventh-day Adventists should know this by heart, that has to do with his appearing, because it says, Behold, he cometh with what? Clouds. And the Bible says, Every eye shall see him. Hold on. Did everybody see the tsunami? See Coconut Island? Not everybody did. Praise God for that. But you know what? Everybody is going to see Jesus when he comes. Did you know that? I don't know how God's going to do it, but you know, I know the heaven's going to roll back, probably like a scroll, the scripture says. I don't know if he's going to make the earth flat or how he's going to do it, but he is going to appear to everyone because it says, every eye shall see him. And it says, they and all the kindreds of the earth also shall wail because of him, and they also which pierced him, right? So there, he's going to have another special resurrection of those who, when Christ was put on Calvary, they are resurrected to see him. And they mocked him. And they said, why don't you come down from the cross? They're going to see Jesus return. And you know, it's interesting to me is he's not returning secretively. He's not returning silently. He's returning as conquering king. And when a conquering king comes, he comes with a procession of armed sentinels. And as he comes, he's going to come down the heavenly corridor through the, I believe, through the orifice or the eye of Orion. And all of heaven is going to be emptied out. And when all of heaven is emptied out, you mean planet Earth is going to be surrounded by a heavenly host with Jesus himself being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I really like this text. Turn with me to Psalms 50, verse 3, because this is powerful. So when we see this happen, we can know that Psalms 50, verse 3. Psalms 50, verse 3. And the Bible says, our God shall come. Isn't that wonderful to know? He's not left earth desolate. He hasn't left us alone over on Big Island. You know, it says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Wow! When he comes, it is going to be a very loud event. Before, when he descended upon Mount Sinai, and they had, and no one was supposed to touch the mount, otherwise you die. It says, the Bible says that the trumpet blew long and loud, so loud and so long that the people said they exceedingly quaked. It means their knees knocked together. Because here you've got a holy, just, loving Creator God that when he speaks, it happens. What he says, it goes forth. And there's creative power in his word. And here he wants to be reunited with some dust and clay that he laid down his life for and that he wants to make new again into a glorious vessel which you can be a witness and a testimony to the rest of the unknown worlds of the universe. What a calling that is. You know, to go from world to world and you can be, yes, Jesus, redeem me from planet Earth. You'll be going to this planet and say, oh, you're one of the ones that Christ paid the price for on Calvary Street. And he says, yes, I'm a follower of the true loving God. And he laid down his life for me. You know, God is coming. The birth pains of this earth are getting closer and closer. Are we ready? You know, I gave this sermon the wrong title. It says not to say, are we ready? It says we should be ready. It says, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. A lot of people are thinking about a lot of things. Prosperous years ahead. We've had the lowest economy. Now it's going to be all prosperous. Real estate, oh, it's going back up. Hold on to your property. Start investing. Buy more. You know. The financial forecasts are saying, it's good times ahead. Just stimulus everything. Stimulus your toilet paper. Stimulus this. Stimulus that package. Stimulus your health care. Just stimulus everything now. That's a new word for the 2000s, right? Stimulus it. I'm so thankful Jesus has something better than a stimulus package, aren't you? I'm so thankful His word can be trusted and is sure. We can know for a surety not only who Jesus is, but how He will come again. And that's a promise that we need to focus on. We need to meditate upon these texts and His coming. And I just want to close with a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're living in a time, a verse history, Lord, when we see the birth pains of this earth fast fulfilling. And Lord, we would just pray that we would take an earnest heed to study Your word more fervently so that we aren't deceived. And help us take heed to our own selves. Lord, help us examine our own hearts to truly see if we are of the faith. Truly, if we're living a Christ-like life. And Lord, if there is any secret sins among us, we just pray for Your abounding grace that we may see Your goodness and know that You are a loving God and that You wish that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Lord, repentance is a gift, but we must accept it. Help us to treasure that gift. Help us not trade it away for anything, but cling to it as it is in Jesus. He is the only hope of our salvation. Be with our families. And we pray for those who are heads of government and those who are in pain and hurting at this time. We just love You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.